Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Old Testament lesson for today is from Jeremiah chapter 17, which has a strong resemblance to Psalm number 1. It seems appropriate considering both these pieces of wisdom literature have the same ultimate author, which is God Himself. But to tell you the truth, it reminds me more of Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, where Jesus is comparing Himself unto John the Baptist. He states, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' And yet," and here's my comparison, "and yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." To a certain extent, it says that time will tell. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8 is pure wisdom literature. And it really seems a little bit out of place in Jeremiah, who's so often called the prophet of doom. But in Jeremiah's day, maybe even in our own, right, difficult times are coming. There's economic uncertainty in Jerusalem, political unrest, financial hardships, inflation, supply chain issues, labor shortages, anxiety about health and safety and security and wars and rumors of war. This is all magnified by the myriad of personal turmoils we all face individually within our own lives. The challenges that we face day to day. Shall I move? Shall I stay? Wages are on the rise. That's a good thing, right? You also have to, well, first of all, you have to be working. If you're not working, wages are not on the rise. But if you are working, wages are on the rise, which is great. If you have the fortitude to jump ship and go to a competitor, they'll pay you more money, but it comes with risks. Should you move out of town? Is it worth it? My house is worth much, much more than I paid for it. When they write me little notes and go, "We'll give you this much for your house," that'd be great. Except I don't know where to live. And I certainly don't want to buy a house in this day and age, not knowing what they were. But how do you judge? How do you know? Who do you trust? Jeremiah gives us two directions. You can trust two different things. You can trust yourself. You can trust humanity. You can trust the government. You can trust society. You can trust in human strength. Or you can trust in the Lord. The difference is blessings or curses. If you trust in the Lord, you're going to be blessed. If you trust in humanity, well, let's just say not so much. Or maybe cursed are you. Do you trust in the strength of humanity? Do you trust in the wisdom of humanity? Do you trust in the values of humanity, or the science of humanity, or the philosophy of humanity? The one who trusts in himself is like a stubby bush out in the wilderness. No water about, and nothing can come of it. No good can come of it. Certainly nothing prosperous. Certainly nothing luxurious. That shrub, that stubby little brush out in the wilderness, will die eventually. The hard part is, what does it look like? What does it look like to trust in the Lord versus trusting in humanity? I think, I'm using it as an illustration. I think the difference you can see might be in the difference between being prepared and being a prepper. I hope none of you are preppers. And I hope, I'm not really trying to make anybody angry this morning, but there seems to be a difference. To be prepared is fine. To be prepared is great. Have a generator, 5-10 gallons of gasoline sitting in the shop, all labeled with the dates, and you take the oldest one, you put it in the truck, you take the thing to the thing, you fill it back up, you have fresh gas for your generator, right? A first aid kit, couple of bottles of water, you know, a little stack of MREs or Dintymore stew sitting in the back of the cabinet someplace. You got to make sure that you got to keep that stuff up to date, though. A prepper has a bus full of supplies buried on his property somewhere. 300,000 rounds of ammunition in order to protect his bus. The one who trusts in the Lord, commits himself unto the Lord God, is like a tree. He's strong and he's green. He grows and he prospers. He bears fruit because it has deep roots and life-giving waters. I mean, I watch the stock market. I have a 401k. I change the oil in my car every 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 miles, whatever the manufacturer requires. But at the same time, I'm not afraid of calamity. I'm not afraid of the communists. I will do fine. I'm not worried about the collapse of the dollar. God is never failing. He has an ever-flowing stream of life that supports me and my own. I trust God, and I trust that in God, He will prosper me regardless of what else is going on in the world. Because God has that kind of power to guard and guide and protect that which is His, which includes you. So in whom do you trust? Do you trust in yourself? I mean, I have to admit, I trust in myself every once in a while. Not all the time, but sometimes I trust in myself. And you wouldn't be the first to think of yourself as being first and foremost. I know many people of many of age have waged upon their self. I tell kids that as well. You know, wager upon yourself. If you want to be a rocket science, go to college, make the preparations, be a rocket science. It'd be great. You don't have to flip burgers if you don't want to. Are you smart enough? Are you good enough? People like you and like me, I mean, it's easy for me to think I've got enough money, I've got enough friends, I've got a network, I can do just fine. I've got some property, a couple of guns. You might say there's things that I'm proud of. But at the same time, have you forgotten something? Have you left something out of the equation? If these things in which you trust, God says you are accursed. For one thing, the things of this world will fail you. They will fail you. Eventually. They will not last forever. Nothing lasts forever. They will die with you, and then what? Will your bus full of supplies help you in the afterlife? Let's say something calamitous does happen and our society does fall down around us. Are you going to defend that bus full of supplies with your life? Are you going to have a gun out there in the front of your property? Are you really going to kill your neighbor who comes to you and begs for food for his starving children? Will your bus help you in the life to come, in the world to come? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not as a last resort, but as your first. Cursed are you, not only will they fail you, but you have not turned to the Lord God. You have not surrendered unto the Lord. All of the nations of the world are in his hands. Every nation of the world is in his hands. Turning from the Lord means despising and neglecting the Lord. Despising and neglecting the Lord, it means calamity. It's the very sense of calamity. We've sought only help in ourselves. Will that be enough for you on the last day when we stand before the Lord who is our help? As our help is in ourselves? As Jeremiah tells us, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Contrast what Jeremiah says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. For the Lord is able to prosper you. The Lord is able to protect you. He is the one that will give you a full life now and in eternity. Not only will all others disappoint you, not only will all other people fail you, they will lie to you, they will cheat to you, they will turn on you, they will try to steal your bus when you're not looking. But trusting in the Lord is like being planted by an ever-flowing river of water, like a palm tree next to the Nile River. It doesn't matter if it rains or if it doesn't rain, there's always water. There's always your Lord concerned about you. You go just a couple of miles away from the Nile, there's no vegetation because there's no water. Where would you prefer to be planted? Where would you put your crop? Next to the Nile or farther inland? And so it is with trust of the Lord. Where would you rather be planted? That is, in whom do you trust? You say the Lord. But do you? You might say, well, not at first, but If all else fails, I always have the Lord to fall back on. How does that make you feel? How do you like being second or third choice to anybody? How do you feel when that attitude reflects upon your trust of the Lord? Right? Remember, the Lord helps those who helps themselves. Hezekiah chapter 6, verse 1. I'm sorry, that's not fair. There is no book of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king in the Old Testament. It sounds like it ought to be a book, doesn't it? You're like, yeah, Hezekiah. He was a king. He didn't write anything. But the Lord helps them who helps themselves is not in the text either. That is one of those fake gospels that have just grown up and people say it and it sounds wise. A better lesson for you to read is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power and wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers. And you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and you serve them and you worship them, that I solemnly warn you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord made to perish before you, so you will perish because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. God rightly judges those who trust in themselves and those whom he condemns. And if we do not trust in the Lord, if we trust in the nature of man, then we will get what we deserve. We will be parched, we will wither, and we will die because we have not trusted in the Lord God who said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me and I will give you life. We have failed to trust in the Lord. We have failed to seek him first. But there is one who did all things well, who trusted in the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, and he is our Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted in his heavenly Father with all of his life. When he was tempted in the wilderness, the Lord God, Jesus, trusted in the Lord who had care for him and protect him, and he answered the challenges of Satan with the word of Scripture itself. He fought temptation to sin with God's own word. And when he died on the cross, parched and thirsty, not because of any sin that was within him, but rather for our salvation, Jesus still, even then, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus suffered on the cross all of the curses that we deserve. He became a curse for us. And in their place, he gives us the blessings that we did not earn, but he did. He pours out his life that we may have life from him and his body and his blood. Jesus rose from the dead. He breathed the Holy Spirit upon his disciples, empowering them to preach the good news of forgiveness, repentance of sin, and not trusting in yourself. Believe incredibly wonderful good news amidst a world of mistrust and the lack of trust that you have been forgiven, that your sins have been paid for on the cross of Christ. Know that life, true life, never-ending life, this life comes from God and God alone. And so stay connected to this God in word and in sacrament ministry, in life and in salvation, and he will prosper your ways. And he will grow you for his purposes. And he will lead you to living streams of water. He will lead you to green pastures. Blessed is the man, Jesus Christ, who trusts in his Lord. And blessed are you when you trust in Jesus, your Lord and Savior for life and for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.